We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1. Where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Nice jumper. Got it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Today's episode brought to you by Greg Olson's terrific podcast, TE1, by betonline.ag, and by DoorDash. I am Ty Windisch, one of your hosts. I am here with the calculated Rohan Kadi, and we are here for a singular mission today, Rohan, to grade the Milwaukee Bucks guards from this season and postseason. More on that in a second, but first, how are you doing and what are you up to?
See, I was confused initially because I thought the main topic of this podcast was going to be a certain type of review. But
I've been told that it's not the Travis Scott burger, it's the Travis Scott meal. So okay. I need to apologize. I guess I got it wrong when I posted about it on my socials. But we're going to get there much, much later.
Okay. But in terms of what I'm doing, I am, I guess, currently co-hosting the Eurostep.
Both
of us have game one of the NBA Finals pulled up, which is probably, you know, this is at max. We have 7 games left, including this, until who knows when.
Yeah, it's true. I think even if you're a little bitter toward Miami as a Bucks fan, obviously I don't think many Bucks fans are. Honestly, that's not the read.
I think most Bucks fans are rooting for Miami, honestly.
I totally think they are. Jimmy Butler playing at Marquette doesn't hurt, but also like
my guy and Jay Crowder, don't forget him.
And of course, two guys who are going to have to function as LeBron stoppers. I think a lot of Bucks fans are a little bit distasteful of the Lakers. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, the Lakers were like...
I think a lot of NBA fans in general are distasteful of the Lakers.
Yeah, you pretty much are either a Lakers fan or you dislike the Lakers. But I will say, like, I was talking to a couple people about this today. Appreciate LeBron while he's here, even if you don't appreciate the Lakers. And like you alluded to, I mean, who knows when we're going to get basketball again. I guess the mini camps are happening right now, so if you're going to watch some hot Cav on Cav action, you can check that out.
I love how no one in like the general populace is really paying attention to that. I guess because the finals are going on.
Yeah.
But like once that's over, I'm sure that'll pick up. But like, yeah, it's still something.
Yeah, I'm waiting to inject like Luke Kennard stuff into my veins. I'll wait till after the finals.
Tenured Piston.
what a wild thing. But yeah, who knows when we'll have basketball again. So enjoy this basketball. But not speaking of enjoyable basketball, we've got some guard. Some of it's enjoyable. A lot of it's enjoyable. The Bucks were really good in the regular season. Important distinction where they went 56-17, first in the NBA in the regular season. They did not have that good of a record in the postseason. But we figured the best way to get this offseason of undetermined length started was to look at what the Bucks had/have. And I mean, that you can't really go like plan next moves until you figure out what you've got, right? So we figured the best way.
You're taking inventory.
Exactly. That's so much smarter than I am, Rohan. We're taking inventory of not all of the Bucks assets. I mean, we could do a very short pod that the draft picks suck, but all of the player assets, which I think are most of their assets. So we're starting with the guards. We're going to do guards, forwards, bigs. We've split it up in such a way that they're all fairly even. Feel free to yell at us about what we designate each player. We took about 4 seconds to determine this via text message earlier today. But we are going to do 2 grades for each player. We are going to first just give them an overall performance grade, like...
As a general NBA player.
Yes, like where do they grade out-ish? This is not an exact statistical science, but like compared to all other guards, essentially. And then we're also going to grade them all on a curve. So like if someone has very limited expectations or role, they could do much better there, even if they're not a great player overall. And I think...
It's more like, I guess another way to put this, it's more like general versus contextual.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I'm here, but I am.
Because you're a great co-host, Ty. That's why.
I suppose. But let's start with, I think, the first guard people probably think of.
Frank Mason.
The Bucks fans, maybe. But people at large, and I think of the Milwaukee Bucks, Eric Bledsoe, their point guard, starting point guard for the last 2+ years now.
Dang, it's really been that long, huh?
It has to have been, right?
Yeah, because it was...
They traded Greg Monroe.
Yeah, I was about to say he was traded for Greg Monroe.
that's what really dates him as a Buck.
Yeah, it was the final Jason Kidd season.
Yeah, because Kidd was still the coach, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. So
and later that season, he got fired.
Joe Prunty season.
Oh God! Yeah. What a wild season! What was that? 16-17 or 15?
The Bucks?
Yeah, 16. 16-17.
Yeah, 16-17. The Bucks on Bucks. Wait, it was 17-18, right? Because Bledsoe.
Yes.
This is
yes.
His third playoff run. Yeah, because he was not there for the first Raptors series.
Correct. So this yes, it was 17-18.
Celtics, and then last year, and then this year. Okay. Yeah, the book. Maybe just one book. Maybe multiple books on like the 2010s Bucks are going to be so funny and kind of sad. But Eric Bledsoe, I think, is so tough to contextualize in a one, I guess, as we're doing it, 2 grades, because like there's a lot of strong positives. Second team all defense, fine numbers. I mean, regular season, he put up just about 15 points a game, just under 5 rebounds, just over 5 assists, less than 1 steal, which is surprising, but he only played 27 minutes a game. And then there's the playoff numbers, which, of course, are worse than that in pretty much every category except for assists. So I think that's why it's hard, right? Like, what do you contextualize more? What do you weigh more? The distasteful playoff performances that seemingly every Bledsoe season is capped with? Or all the good stuff he does on the way there? I think it's a little hard to overlook how the seasons end, but I did feel like I had to give him some credit for, I mean, again, like literally one of the 10 best defensive players this season, according to the awards voting. So where do you have Eric Bledsoe?
Well, I guess let's first just talk about him just overall as an NBA player. So like you said, second team all defense, he's a decent offensive contributor. He can, you know, be explosive offensively and burst. He's an elite defender. It's not a hot take to say that he's an above average NBA point guard.
Yes. No, it's not a hot take. It's not a hot take.
He's probably, this is just off the top of my head, but probably top 15?
Probably. We'll say probably. He's like the next player below guys who should pick up an all-star in a given year.
Yes. So he's like a tier below guaranteed all-star.
Yeah. Or like yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. He's like, it's sort of that.
He's always like one of the first three honorable mentions mm-hmm. for all-star.
Yeah. And it's in the East. Always has a case to be an all-star as well.
Yes. In the East.
Yes. In the East. So just as a player, just like take him outside of the Bucks, like outside of our little like Bucks niche, he's a good player. He's a good player for an NBA team. We've talked about this for like other podcasts that we've done. He would take a like middling franchise and raise their floor immediately. Like if you were like, we've talked about this, if you were the New York Knicks, you would love an Eric Bledsoe.
I hope Tibbs is listening to this.
He's just he's a dynamic point guard who will stabilize your team, and just like if you have nothing, Eric Bledsoe will like raise the floor of your team considerably.
Yes.
So it's hard to like, because I know where we're going with this and getting into the expectations. So I'm trying. It's hard to transition into that, but just in general, he's a good player. I'd give him overall. I'd probably give him, if we're doing like letter grades, I'd give him like a B.
I gave him a B minus. So okay. Pretty close. The shot still not consistently falling is a little tough. But I like, again, very, very, very good defensive player, solid offensive player.
Best B-. Point guard defender in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. B minus is probably harsh, but I am factoring in playoffs to the overall as well. So that's why, like, if he played even close to the same game in the playoffs, I'm swinging that toward B plus. But just because, like, all his numbers basically fall off a cliff, it's just hard for me to look at him and say, like regular season top 15 point guard, maybe not a playoff. I mean, certainly not a playoff, but maybe not an all-around, factoring in playoffs, all-around point guard. And maybe that'll change when he's not on the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, the fit is not optimal either for him. That's just less of a concern because obviously, you know, the Bucks are more concerned with the fit of Giannis and pieces around Giannis, not pieces around Eric Bledsoe. But maybe he would look better somewhere else. I don't know. I'm not really convinced of that, but it is possible.
Yeah, that's fair. So I guess just getting into expectations now.
The third best guy on a title team, right? Like I think the bar is simple.
That's what the bar is. He needs to be the third best player on a title team. So according to that, how low are we going here?
I actually didn't go that low.
I gave him a D.
I think that's fair. I don't know why I wrote down C. I feel like I shouldn't have done that. I think C minus D. I could, you know what? I'm going to settle on D plus.
The thing is, like, if we're doing letter grade, C's get degrees. And the Bucks lost in the second round.
Yeah, totally fair. You know what? You talked me down. D. I'm changing it right now. D. I hope my keyboard clicks come through. That was a legit change. Yeah, I mean, he just wasn't good enough. I mean, in pretty much every facet, his energy did keep the Bucks alive for like a couple minutes when it looked like they should have been dead. But overall, you have his numbers, right? Do you have his playoff numbers?
Yeah. So in the playoffs this season, in like 29.7 minutes per game, he was, he was averaging 11.7 points on 38% shooting from the field. 25% from three, just abysmal.
Yeah, and it's one of those where certainly someone could say, you know, he missed time with COVID and he got there late, whatever.
That's fair.
But I would be a lot more inclined to care about that if this wasn't like a regular trend for 3 years in a row. Yeah, it's just after the Terry Rozier stuff, I mean, he needed to be like great in the postseason to reverse that, and the opposite of that has happened.
Yeah, he hasn't been good. He hasn't brought it.
No.
It's just like you said, the expectations are him to be the third best player on a title team. Even on this contender in the postseason, he was probably the fifth, sixth best player.
Yeah.
And they fell short. So that's why I gave him a D.
I think it really is that simple.
Yeah, because it's just like when they needed him to perform in a role, he didn't. You know? And as a result, the Bucks fell short.
Yeah, and I think this is something, you know, the Bucks have tried to be very, very high on Eric Bledsoe. The organization was collectively disappointed he wasn't an All-Star this season. And
this season, he had a better case last season.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. I mean, what are they going to do, right?
His defense fell off a little compared to last season, like the previous season. It was like he was worse a little bit in the regular season. So if he was going to make it, it'd be 18-19.
Yeah. Not the snub I'm most upset about, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's succinctly, though, I think the main takeaway from Bledsoe for the season is, again, on the whole, a good. He's kind of emblematic of, like, the Bucks as a collective, truly. Mm-hmm. Like, seems like he's, you know, totally on pace to take care of everything. And then when really the stakes are at their highest, just clearly not it. And hopefully, I mean, not saying, like, this, like, general Bucks core will never be it, but, like, so far, especially the last 2 years, it hasn't come through the way we would have hoped.
Yeah, it really hasn't. And I think, yeah, like, you put it great. It's just emblematic of the Milwaukee Bucks in general, and that's... Is that... Yeah, it might be Eric Bledsoe's fault. Who knows?
Not going to say all of it, but he has not helped a lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely not all his fault, but...
Yeah.
Can't say he's not a factor.
Correct.
Okay, where do we... do you have any other thoughts on Bledsoe, or should we move on?
Let's move on. This is not having fun.
Yeah, so let's get to probably the, I guess, backup point guard, George Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think kind of interesting, sort of, again, kind of a weird contrast for George Hill, who... Did he end the season as the NBA's leading three-point shooter? I thought he did as well. I mean, is B-Ball Ref going to tell me this? I don't see it bolded, but he might have. I mean, he shoots 46% from three, which is pretty good in the regular season, just under 10 points per game at 9.4. Three rebounds, three assists, one turnover, less than one steal. One turnover exactly. 51% from the field, 46 from deep, 56 from two. Certainly cooled off in the bubble and in the playoffs, but he was a reliable shot maker, but not on high volume, just three attempts per game. And I felt like, and maybe some of this was another player that we're going to discuss, kind of, you know, impinging on his role a little bit. There's a medical term for you.
Ooh.
He didn't seem to make the same differences off the bench that he did last season. He was such a great shooter, don't get me wrong, but I did feel like he was more of a playmaker and created his own shots better last year than he did this year. So as much as that shooting number is great, really, I feel like it kind of looks a little bit better than George Hill's season was in its entirety. But what do you think?
I think I'd have to agree with you there. Last season, he seemed to have more of a knack for finding shots within the offense. Meanwhile, like this season, his role was just making sure the offense doesn't fall off the rails.
Yeah.
It was more like, let's come in here and calm things down sort of thing when the all-bench units are just sort of flailing about, as you would expect them to, but that's neither here nor there. But it's just, he was more of just like a guiding force on offense rather than being the offensive force, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I feel like even farther going on this sort of idea in the playoffs, I almost just thought he kind of drifted around a bit. Like, I didn't think he was as much of a force.
He never took control.
No. And that was the thing last season. I mean, especially in some of the big playoff moments, I was referring to him as George Mountain, because of how big his impact was. I mean, I could totally be wrong and be forgetting a game. I don't think there was a single game this postseason where George Hill made an outsized difference in the result, for better or worse. I don't think he lost them any games.
No.
But I don't think he won them any games. And that sounds like a kind of an unreasonable expectation, but like good role player performances can and should swing games here or there.
This was a guy who was in the running for Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah. No. And was not, did not have that kind of impact in the bubble, I don't think.
No, he really didn't. I guess we could say that about the Bucks as a whole, but him, like, everything just sort of fell off. He was sort of trailing even in his gaudy shooting percentages, like trailing off as the normal regular season was winding to its to its hiatus. So, and that trend, like, just continued and, like, accounted for missed time in the bubble. It was just, it wasn't pretty.
No.
And again, like I said, you can say that for all of the Bucks in the bubble, except for, like, Brook Lopez. But that's in two pods. we didn't see the George Hill that we were really expecting. And I guess that sort of, like, takes us out. Well, like, before I get there, just as a general NBA player, pretty solid backup point guard.
Yeah, I guess, well, we're grading him as an overall guard, though, not as a backup point guard for the overall grade, right?
Okay, are we?
Yes. The second grade is considering that he's a backup point guard.
Sure.
That's my plan. Do you have a... Are you thinking...
I was thinking I could count for him being a backup.
Okay, we can do that. That's fine. Then I have him as a B.
Okay, I had him as like a A minus as a backup point guard. Cause like,
yeah, I suppose there's not that many better.
Like we
than
said,
him.
he's in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. He's a seasoned veteran. I guess that's such a cliche to say.
But he is. He certainly.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
taken players under his wing for sure.
Yeah, 11 years in the league. He knows the ins and outs. Like, that's all you can really ask for in your backup point guard role. Like, probably the only reason he probably wasn't starting is because he's a seasoned veteran.
Yeah.
just old. So
that's, seasoned veteran is the nice way of saying old.
Yeah, if he was like peak George Hill, he would be a great starter for this team.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not peak George Hill.
No.
But it's toned down George Hill in a lesser role, which I think is all you can really ask for at this point in his career.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's why I gave him an A minus.
For overall?
Yeah.
Okay. What about expectations wise? I mean, his, like we already kind of covered, sort of the stabilizer from the bench, and he still did that to a degree. I just didn't think the degree was as much. So I was feeling a B or a B minus here.
I said B minus.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's good, but there could be more. We've seen more sort of thing.
Yeah, which it just seems crazy considering like just that one number that you can just throw at somebody. Like, look, he's the best shooter in the NBA. I wouldn't say he was the best three-point. He had the highest three-point percentage maybe.
Mm.
Was not the best three. Not
no,
three attempts
not.
Per game.
I no.
mean, it's Duncan Robinson was the best three-point shooter this season, and Davis Bertans was close. But yeah. I think we're in really agreement so far. Just kind of the first two guards, and again, like the Bucks as a whole, kind of like is paper tiger? Is that what that means?
Is what?
A paper tiger?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hold on, I'm Googling it.
This might be me being uncultured.
Oh, no, it's true. A person or thing that appears threatening but is ineffectual.
Huh.
It's a literal English translation of a Chinese phrase.
Oh, the more you know, I guess.
I think it has to do with origami, but I could be wrong.
Looks intimidating, but actually is. Okay.
The Bucks were paper tigers, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, that's fair. You can't really argue with that based on the result.
You cannot. So, I guess, do you have any more George Hill thoughts?
His contract is friendly for the team.
Yeah, so this is something I didn't actually realize until kind of recently with all the trade talks and stuff going around. He's only very partially guaranteed in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
He's got one full year left and then like $3 million guaranteed the year after that.
I think so. Let me pull it up.
And I think Brook Lopez's contract is like that too.
Is it?
Maybe I knew Hill and Lopez surprised me.
Yeah, so George Hill, come on, you can load here.
Oh, no, Brook Lopez's is not like that. George Hill's is like that. I was wrong.
Yeah, so he has next year fully guaranteed $9.5 million for 2021. And then the 2021-2022 season only has a $1.2 million guaranteed.
Oh, 1.2 million. Wow. Okay, so yeah, he's very much like...
Otherwise, it's a 10 million cap hit.
He's
getting waived.
Doubt...
He's getting waived.
Yeah, yeah. I think whether he's in Milwaukee or somewhere else, I don't think he's going to make $10 million that year unless something dramatically changes with the state of George Hill. Well, good. Well, I think... Unless you have another George Hill thought?
No, it's a very tradable contract.
It's extremely tradable. I'm sure we'll cover more trade targets in pods. But, you know, the Bucks have counted on George Hill. He's delivered, you know, a good amount of the time. Unlike restaurants who you've counted on and they've delivered to you with DoorDash. Their dining rooms may be closed, they may be open, who knows, everything is sort of in flux right now, but everyone is open for delivery with DoorDash, like I said. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving directly to your door, and ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off set. Choose from your favorite national chain restaurants work. Like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners to this here Eurostep podcast can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on that first order when you download the DoorDash app in the old app store and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's promo code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. You know, a great time to use DoorDash is on Football Sunday because the wait is over and football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. But don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are just giving away bargains with promo code BLUEWIRE. You put in promo code BLUEWIRE anywhere, who knows? Who knows how much you might save? Speaking of bargains, Rohan, Dante DiVincenzo's contract, very, I would say a bargain. I mean, obviously it's a rookie deal, but still.
Yeah, I was not expecting you to say that.
You don't think it's a bargain?
No, I mean, no, it is, but I don't know. I was not expecting you to bring up Dante DiVincenzo's contract in his discussion.
Well, it's a bargain. You know, I mean, the ad read's officially over. We've segued out of it, just so you know.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh,
my transitions are so good lately.
No, quick tangent, though. Do you play fantasy football?
Usually I do, but this year I am not in any leagues, which is weird.
Yeah, I usually do like one league a year. I've kind of fallen off of my football fandom dramatically.
Sure.
I just want to take this time to flex on the pod because we talked about football in the ad read that I am 3-0 in my fantasy league right now. Yeah, highest scoring team in the league. It's
Who's
amazing.
Who's your MVP?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. I confuse the name of the players on my team because I don't know who they are, but I know I'm winning.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Okay, now we can go back to Dante now.
Yeah, so, I mean, start us off. Give me your Dante takes.
So, we've talked about this, but he's the Bucks' young core.
No pressure.
I guess that's more expectations, but just what he was drafted as is not really what I expected him to be right now. Not gonna lie, when he was drafted, I pulled an Adam McGee. I was like, "What on earth is going on here?" Shout out to Adam. Wrote his final article for Behind the Podcast today.
That is
a great
man.
Read. But just it was. I was very confused. But he's actually like in terms of skills. We've talked about this. He can play up in size. He can be a rangy wing on offense and defense if he really wants to be. If he wants to play like that. ideally, he's a good shooter who can defend and play make and just do everything you would really want to, make winning plays. And he does that. He just doesn't do it consistently, though. And probably the, you know, the big thing that's missing from that is his three-point shot. Yeah. He shot 33.6% in the regular season, which was actually an improvement on his rookie season, where he shot 26.5%. So, I mean, baby steps, but also, like, you're 23.
Yes, sort of nearly a rookie. Did not play much his rookie year. His rookie year gets cut off with injury.
27 games.
Yeah. He takes kind of audacious shots.
He takes the shots you would want him to take if you want him to develop into a useful role player. I'll say it like that. And not even just a useful role player, but like potentially something more.
Correct. And I certainly agree with that. And I just think...
they need to go in.
They want... Yeah, that would certainly help. They need to go in. I think he does appear to me like he will be a better shooter. He's not there right now, but I definitely grant expectations. I think the word to use is combo guard for his skills. It's sort of in between a point guard and sort of a 2-3. I agree he can defend some wings. I don't think he'll really spend a lot of time ever guarding fours unless they're just not a threat.
He's too small.
I do think like right now the best part of Dante's game is probably his off-ball defense, or like his passing lanes defense,
beautiful to watch. It's so good. Just like if you ever want to like take a deep dive into like what NBA defense really is, there's a couple players you want to watch film and just watch them on plays, and Dante is one of them because he tries to figure out every single read as it happens and adjust in real time, and it's beautiful to watch.
It is, and I think he feels the game to a degree I would not have expected. I mean, obviously he's old for a second-year guy, but still, like, his feel of the game, to me, feels better than, like, a lot of vets in the league. And I think it abandoned him for, like, a week or two in the bubble and then pretty much came back. But I think you see it on offense, too. A lot of his points and assists, even, are not necessarily him being like more skilled or fast or strong, although he's certainly not slow, but like he'll cut more than a lot of bucks and get easy buckets. You know, he'll find an opening and get through it. Like we said, sometimes the shot falls, oftentimes it doesn't. And that's probably his lowest IQ plays or some of those jumpers, just considering his percentage. But I do think, you know, taking those now sets you up to make them more later. I don't know. I think his game overall is very impressive to me. I think he's got a pretty high floor and potentially a staggeringly high ceiling, considering I thought he was going to be a G League player this season. So definitely is better than that.
Yeah, it's interesting you thought he was going to be a G League player this season, considering all we heard from the Bucks like leading up to the season was that Dante is just going to break out. Do you remember?
I didn't believe him. Oh, I remember. I was talking to some Bucks folks before the season. I think when they introduced Chase Buford, it wasn't Chase. He wasn't really a part of the team that like wasn't ingrained yet. But some Bucks folks were there, and I was like, you know, basically went up to him and said, looking forward to seeing Dante out here in Oshkosh a bit. And they're like, and we don't know about that. And I was like, I don't know. I think I feel like the team is so good, and they have all these players, yada yada yada. And they were like, we'll see. And then he, you know, becomes basically their sixth man and spot starter throughout the season and everything else. Very impressive stuff from Dante DiVincenzo. I think the expectations may have gotten a little bit too high in the bubble, and then him finally hitting some sort of a wall really made him look tough. But props to him also for rebounding from that tough stretch and being one of their best 3-4 players in the last 3 to 4 games of the season. I think 3 games of the season.
Yeah, no, he really, it's just been a roller coaster of a season. It's just, I think, I don't know if this is a hot take, I think he has the potential to be an all-star.
I feel like that is a little hot takey. I've certainly said it. I think I said he's going to be a star next season at one point, just because, like, it's one of those where someone who doesn't watch a lot of Bucks or who hasn't paid close attention to Dante, you pull up the numbers, right? It's like, okay, the numbers are nothing special at all. Less than a 2-to-1 assist turnover ratio. decent amount of rebounds for a guard on his minutes, nearly 5 in 23 minutes, but like 9 points per game, you know, whatever. Watching him play, though, there does seem to just be something there.
It's hard to really contextualize.
Yeah.
It's just he has it. I don't know how else to describe it.
No, totally fair. And I think he could get there. I think there's a lot of paths for him trajectory-wise. But I think he's going to get at least a little bit better, which that means like his floor will be a very good bench player. I think that's the worst I could see Dante DiVincenzo being, which is pretty good value for where he was drafted and fighting through the injuries he's fought through.
Yeah, it really is a heel injury that knocked him out of basically his entire rookie season or most of his rookie season. And just, I think that also, it's a weird tangent. I think it's probably better for like rookies to like sit out a lot of games.
Yeah.
Because they learn
just
the game.
Watch and learn.
Yeah. And you get to adjust to the NBA schedule. Then again, who knows what that's going to be now on. But
whew, Sterling and DJ are going to be really good when they finally get to play in Detroit, baby. They've done so much watching.
Oh man.
You teed me up for that one.
I did. I didn't even realize it. But yeah, I think Dante can be really good. So I guess we didn't grade him.
Let's do it. I think expectations, I put straight A.
Based on his expectations?
My expectations of him.
Okay, that's fair. Like, yeah, that's fair. Team expectations, he kind of fell a little short. But
yeah, I mean, the Bucks were like...
The Bucks were like, he's going to win MVP. Like, step aside, Giannis. Like, Dante's basically in charge now. Like, but... So I guess you can't really meet those expectations. But I guess in terms of, like, my own, like I said, I didn't think he was going to be good. So, yeah, A.
I don't know. You go first for overall expectations. I don't know if I can trust what I've put down.
Wait, for overall or expectations?
For overall.
Okay, for overall, probably a C.
See, I put A minus.
Really?
He got 6 Man of the Year votes, didn't he?
He got 1 third place vote, I think.
I mean, like, that's kind of the ceiling. I'll go B plus. I'll temper it a little bit, especially with the bad bubble.
He got a couple minutes on the low post, which means a lot.
It does. I just like, he's a bench guard. He's a young player, like a bench guard spot starter. To be firmly in the 6 Man of the Year conversation, it's pretty good for that.
I don't know if he was.
He was in the columns.
He got 1 third place vote.
Let me see if Zach Lowe mentioned him in his column.
He might have. Or was that for all defense?
Oh, he might have got mentioned there too.
I think Zach Lowe just might be a fan.
I think a lot of people are fans. I think Chris Herring liked him too, I thought.
Yeah, I think that was a pod they did together.
Yeah, it was.
Great combo. Both of them are fantastic. It's just, I don't know if he was like, if I'm looking at this through just Bucks colored glasses.
Fair. I'll settle on B, B plus. I'm keeping B plus down.
Okay, I'll go C plus.
Wow.
Is that what I
kinda
said?
Kind of tough.
Yeah, C plus, B minus.
Kind of tough. Fifth leading or sixth leading scorer on the team.
Sure.
45% from the field.
Sure.
Better effective field goal percentage than Eric Bledsoe or Brook Lopez or Wes Matthews.
In a smaller role.
More shots per game than a couple of those guys. What up? Fair, fair.
I don't know.
I'm not here to argue.
It's just, he, I don't know. I think I'm trying to, like, actively trying to take away my bias, which might be hurting it.
I'm just going
to
lean into it.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll go solid B minus.
I'm sticking with the B plus, but let's move on before you're at A plus and I'm still at B plus.
Dante actually was robbed of MVP.
Every time we said Chris Middleton on the awards pod, we meant to say Dante. We just misspoke consistently.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I guess if we're done with Dante, where are we going next? His buddy.
Yeah.
So we got Ersan, sorry, the Pat Connaughton.
I'm not going to make any sort of a comment.
Okay, you know what I said. Yeah, so we got Pat Considine. He's a fun personality, by all accounts.
Real estate.
Yep.
Mogul.
I wasn't gonna say it. He's trying to make some developments in the city of Milwaukee. Let's leave it at that. So
maybe he should have focused more on developing his game in the city of Milwaukee.
Hey, I like that.
Oh, Pat's not listening.
I hope you are listening, Pat. Come on the Eurostep.
Yeah, come prove us. Come tell us why we're wrong on the pod. But like, at the end of the day, right? Pat Connaughton somehow starts four games. Here's what he does. He is a reserve wing, like. Probably, I mean, what we have him listed here as the fourth guard, and that's not counting, like, Wes Matthews we're going to cover on our wings episode. But, I mean, he started at the two, so you could argue he's a guard. I mean, skill set-wise, I think more of a wing. But, so Pat is, like, behind several guys at the guard spots. Comes in, 5 points a game, solid-ish, 45% from the field, 60.7% from two. Like, Pat really is just dunking, which is just fine with me. The issue is the shot, despite getting hot and early in the bubble, which unfortunately petered out quite quickly once the playoff games got close, 33% from deep in the regular season. Pat Connaughton, very athletic, could have been a pitcher, rebounds the ball.
Hey, did you know that he played baseball?
I think Baltimore drafted him, maybe, a team.
God, every time a commentator said that, I wanted to pull my hair up.
It's definitely on all the Bucks drinking game lists.
That if would you really result in get hospital smacked. Visits.
Yeah, yeah. Like, good energy guy. If he played 82 games a year in the state of Massachusetts.
He is an energy guy.
He is. If he played 82 games a year in the state of Massachusetts, he'd probably be an all-star.
Oh, he'd be like a five-time MVP.
Maybe GOAT, yeah. Maybe GOAT. One of the Bucks' better or middle-of-the-road free-throw shooters. He's fine. He's a bench player.
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, and very undisciplined on defense despite having the tools.
That's why I
well.
Said you said good energy player. I said he's an energy player.
I bet he brings good energy. He doesn't always funnel it well.
Yeah, just the my lasting impression of Pat. Isn't he a free agent also?
Yes, he is.
Sure. We'll discuss that later. But
yeah.
Just my lasting impression of Pat Connaughton on the Milwaukee Bucks. Not him, being in the dunk contest or anything, or helping them, being a really good player actually in their series against the Celtics in the 18-19 series.
Hmm.
Just the lasting image will just be him jumping past shooters. That's the only thing I'll remember when I think of Pat Connaughton.
Like, for me, the first thing is when he and Giannis made that The Rock workout video. And the second thing is the jumping. That was fun.
Oh,
they
that
were
was
fitness
fun.
Buds.
That's why I led this with he's a fun personality.
He is.
He seems like a good locker room guy, a good glue guy. Just like isn't the story of how him and Giannis got really close is like Pat was I think this was on the JJ Redick podcast that he talked about this. It was that Pat was like, oh yeah, I'm a second round pick who didn't play basketball. If you didn't know, I played baseball before. And then he was like, I need to be working all the time, so I was staying late after practice. And then it's like Giannis pulls up. He's like, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm getting shots up. What are you doing here? Sort of thing. And it was like I gotta do this so I can get to play in the NBA. And he's like, and Giannis is like, I just do this. No one else usually shows up.
Your Pat voice is sending me.
I gotta
do this.
And
it's like 1/116th Sylvester Stallone. I gotta do this to stay in the NBA, Mick.
This is why I don't do impressions. It's it's a weird thing, and I feel like Pat, he really sort of like blends the team together. You know, he'll work with like the bench guys, he'll work with the stars. He'll lead the team to do hard work.
And, yeah, I mean, like good culture guy.
Yeah, good culture guy. That's really what I'm trying to say here while I'm waffling on here.
And here's the thing, like, I think on a normal team, Pat plays less.
Yes, for sure. That's so weird. In my notes for Pat, I said probably played too much for his skill set.
Yeah, he was at just under 19 minutes a game, but also minutes played wise ninth. So if he's your ninth man, I don't really have a problem with Pat being your ninth. He's a fine ninth man.
Yeah, that's fair.
So for expectations, I'm like somewhere between C plus and B minus.
I'd say around a C plus. But overall,
he's a reserve wing who does that.
Yeah. He's a reserve wing that the thing is like he can't really he's not gonna be a player that really wins you games. Cause he hasn't shown that he can really get like hot shooting within a game. Like I'm saying within a game, not just like as a trend. But like in a singular game when it matters and you need a role player to step up. I don't think Pat Connaughton can do that.
No. I mean, it seemed like he had kind of turned a corner. I think late regular season, early-ish bubble, he just felt like he was nailing every single three. And it just didn't last. And no one expected him to shoot like 60% or whatever. But even like just being a reliable, I mean, it was clearly like just positive variance. And then he came back down to earth pretty quickly. So I would say probably D plus to C overall.
Yeah, overall, the thing is, like, as if we're doing this in terms of role, as a ninth man, like you said,
it's pretty good for a ninth man. Yeah, I think C is fair.
Yeah, around the seed, just you know, average.
Yeah, yeah. I like. Here's the thing: if Pat Connaughton is killing your team, like the team he plays for, if he's killing the team he plays for, it's not really Pat Connaughton's fault. Like, it's not really even like.
The thing is,
your ninth man shouldn't be able to kill you. Like, he shouldn't be that important to the team.
The thing is, like, in the playoffs, he was just an absolute tire fire.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we're ignoring that here, especially against Miami. Like, anytime Pat Connaughton would come on the court, the Bucks would, like, lose those minutes by, like, 70 points.
Correct. And it's just tough because I feel like part of it is because Pat would come out there with, like, five other bench guys.
No, but it was even like if not just in terms of lineup data, if you like take Pat out and like put someone else in with those normal bench lineups, like just like in the midst of the game,
yeah, they
you would
see
the team immediately like get better because there's not an absolute weak link out there.
Yeah, he is like probably the best way for me to describe Pat Connaughton's role is he should be like the guy closest to making the playoff rotation who doesn't really make it.
Yeah, so like he's a break glass in case of emergency type of thing. Like, I don't know why I remember this, but there was a game in the 18-19 season. I think it was like March, maybe February against the Hornets. And they were actually losing the game to the Hornets at home.
Oh, I remember this game.
Yeah. Okay, so good. I'm glad I'm not insane alone. And they just like... They just brought out switch everything defense as break glass in case of emergency, and that was bringing Pat Connaughton, and they absolutely wiped the floor with the Hornets.
Do you know what? And I'm trying to find. Oh no, they lost one. Funny thing, Pat Connaughton's highest scoring game against the Hornets that year, they actually lost.
Really?
Which is kind of hilarious, but this was a different game. The March game, they won by 17. He played 15 minutes and. Oh, they were minus 12 in those minutes. Our memories might just stink.
No, I think that might be a janky plus minus game.
It might be. Whatever it was. But do you know what Pat Connaughton's nickname is on Basketball Reference?
No.
I've never heard this before.
I have no idea. What is it?
Vanilla Thunder.
Oh my god.
What a great nickname for Pat Connaughton. Vanilla Thunder.
Oh, why don't we call him that?
I don't think we call him that much at all. I think Pat C gets the job done for how often we talk about Pat Connaughton.
You know, that works. We might not have to talk about him again.
We might. I figure he might actually be back. Unless he gets like a real offer to play somewhere. But like if a minimum 1-1 is good enough for him. I have no issue. I mean, I'm sure we'll do more pods. Yeah. I would have no issue with him being 9th, 10th, 11th guy. Sure.
But it's
not?
Also like get some young guys.
Yeah, that'd be ideal. Pat Connaughton.
Like if there's
is...
a roster spot, like a free agent that you can just like trade out for a young guy, it's probably Pat.
Did not realize that Pat is will be 28 probably by the time basketball comes back. Yeah.
He's not a young player. A
lot of college for him. He was 23 when he got drafted.
Just like Dante. No, that's not true.
Dante is a little younger, yeah. I think. Or at least his age 23 season was when he got drafted. But I digress. We got one player left to talk about.
Yes, we do.
We saved the MVP for last.
We did, actually.
MVP, first team all-league, mid-season all-NBA league. The is G League. G League MVP, first team all G League, midseason all NBA G League, which is basically all star, but they don't do a game anymore. Frank Mason, do you want to know something funny?
Sure, I always like funny things.
If you were ranked, if we went in order for this pod of points per game, scorers, do you know Frank actually outscored Pat Connaughton per game this year?
Did he really?
He did indeed. So if you went by points per game, it would be Bledsoe at 14.9, George Hill at 9.4, Dante at 9.2. Frank Mason got up to 6.9 points per game,
dang,
and then Pat
okay.
was at 5.4.
Okay.
The bubble games helped him a lot, I think, because his first game was pretty rough. He ends up playing 9 total. But overall, like, the Frank Mason regular season Buck stats, not terrible. Just under 7 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. 1.2 turnovers, so well over a 2-to-1 assist to turnover. 45% from the field, 28% from three. His threes did not fall, but 56.7% from two. So Frank Mason was like capable as a Buck, eighth in 2-point percentage. That's really cherry picking it, but not as minor as I would have thought, given that almost all of his playing time obviously came in the G League as he racked up an MVP award. Kind of tricky to talk about his overall grade and his expectations grade, given he wasn't on the Bucks most of the season.
Yeah, that's fair. He had such a small, like, role. Like, it wasn't, he didn't have a role on this team.
No, not until they were like you meant, like the term you used earlier. They got to a break glass in case of emergency point at times in the bubble, and then suddenly he was playing.
We got that 1 minute stretch in that game against the Heat.
Oh, don't remind me.
He was a positive 2.5 in the playoffs in that 1 minute.
16-game player. I'm not afraid to say it.
16-game player, sample size of 1 minute. but yeah, honestly, like, he was a good player. Like, limited sample size. Because he had, like, what were his totals? Come on, he played a total of 118 minutes in the regular season for Milwaukee this year. That's not a lot in 9 games.
When he got minutes, he was a lot better.
He was good. Like, when he actually played, he was good. Like, so, obviously, he was a G League MVP, as you said, just, like, absolutely killing it down there. And it's, like, his skills translate.
Absolutely. He had one bad game. So, when he played, he only played more than 20 minutes 3 times this season. One of them was a bad game against Denver, where he had 9 points and shot 4 for 12 from the field. That was the most minutes he played. The Bucks lost that game by 14.
Was that was that the game before the hiatus?
It was.
Oh,
so
I love that game.
That game was drunk. So during the hiatus, the Bucks played 2 games where they used Frank Mason more than 20 minutes per game. If you want some Bucks optimism in this pod, here is where you will find it. Against Memphis, he played 25 minutes, shot 7 for 13 from the field, 3 for 6 from deep. Also added 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover to his 18 points. He was a plus 5. And against Washington in the bubble, in just 21 minutes, he puts up 19 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, just 1 turnover, 7 for 10 from the field, 1 for 2 from deep, and draws 7 free throws in that game, although he just makes 4. I'm not too worried about Frank's free throws. It's a very small sample size, but... So basically the 2 times he got real minutes, and then the time he played 17 minutes in a game against Brooklyn in the bubble, he puts up 11 points, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, makes 4 of his 9 shots. So, like, legitimately productive when he played real minutes in the bubble. He just really had the bad Denver game, but, like, clearly an NBA player, in my opinion.
Oh, clearly. He has, does Sacramento count as NBA experience?
That's why I felt like you had to say it. But yeah, I mean, he was, and honestly, I think he's much better than he was then.
He was. He's definitely refined his skills. He's taken his development seriously.
Yeah.
Which is all you can really ask for. Like, we'll talk, like, I guess he had no expectations. He's a two-way player and a contender. And he still took his job really seriously. And he went out there and was just dominating in the G League. And it wasn't just like, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but it wasn't like Christian Wood G League, where right. he's just like, you know, those don't really translate to NBA. He was working on NBA skills.
Although Christian Wood ends up being like a good NBA player,
okay,
too,
but
which
like
I
not in coming. The way that he was playing in the G League.
Correct. Yeah, he's not facing up at the top of the key every possession.
Exactly. But he's not acting like a number one option.
No, I do want to put Frank Mason's sort of not just his success in the G League, but like you mentioned, his attitude there. I mean, Frank Mason, if you're not aware, played 2 years with the Kings before falling out of favor there and not being with the Kings anymore, which is a blessing. But he had never played a game in the G League before this season, before signing as a two-way player with the Bucks. And he obviously plays the bulk of his time is spent with the Herd. He suits up in 24 games, plays 30 minutes a game, and really like embraced the grind here. And Frank Mason, I do not mean this as a slight, listed at 5'11". That's actually probably accurate, which most of the time NBA heights are not, but like certainly not taller than
I am. Wasn't there
a
thing, like was this last season where they're like, oh, we have to actually do NBA heights right now?
Yeah, but like some, like there's still conflicting sources and some of them, yeah, there was, but I mean, and also G League, who knows, but certainly not taller than me. And like a terrific finisher around
nice,
the rim.
Nice height flex.
I'm just about 6'1". So Same. It's not even like, no, look at that. We're a backcourt of the future, obviously. But Frank Mason, like for someone who's certainly not tall by NBA standards, like his finishing around the rim is crazy. So in the G League, 24 games, 30 minutes per game, 25 points, 3.3 rebounds, nearly 5 assists, 2.6 turnovers. Shot 50% from the field, 42.8% from 3, 55.8% from 2 on 10 shots per game. Like, and these are not like step within the arc pull-ups. Like, he gets to the rim, and I saw him hit floaters over Taco freaking Fall. Like, his touch and guile around the rim is nuts, and I think it's a skill that will transfer because he can clearly score against height. And his free throw percentage in the G League, a reassuring thing if you're worried about him missing some with the Bucks, 81.5% on nearly 4 attempts per game. So 92 attempts overall this season. So between his 183s he shot 42% on and his 92 free throws he shot 81% on. And if you think he didn't get enough free throws based on those numbers, Chase Buford agrees with you, to put it lightly.
All time, Chase Buford.
Fast break breakfast, had a lot of fun with that. Shouts to our friends of the pod. But just a really capable player. Like, he can do NBA stuff. I really hope he gets more of a role on the Bucks next season.
I think now that I'm thinking about this, he should replace Patsy.
Yeah, I think at the bare minimum, that would be great.
He should be on the Bucks roster.
Correct. He has to. I think he literally has to be.
I think
maybe.
He's restricted.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Is he restricted as a two-way?
He's restricted overall.
Overall, okay.
I'm pretty positive.
I'm not sure actually. My thinking was that it's like if he gets a general 15 man roster spot offer, that's not restricted. And just no, like two way is, but I guess you know more than I do.
I think it's all so confusing, and the Bucks org, I've actually prodded about this a little bit. Like, it can depend if he's restricted or not on like a couple like subtle little things that are not necessarily public, and the Bucks are not in any hurry to disclose to me or other people interested.
Wait, what does that mean?
like there's like if he spent X amount of time with the Bucks, like enough time with the Bucks. So I was like, how does the hiatus and the bubble affect that? Like, do the bubble days count? Is he automatically? And I was kind of just like shushed away.
I think, in general, in terms of two way, if it's outside of the G League season, it doesn't count towards days. Right?
Correct. No, but like, yeah.
Oh,
but
I get what you're saying.
Like, you have to spend enough time with the NBA team to become a restricted free agent. But he would be fully restricted in that, like the Bucks could match any offer to him. I would think though, even beyond that, I would think the two sides would both be interested in a deal. I really hope so at least.
And it also just like helps the, it helps the Herd a lot.
Well, they've developed so many damn players who have left. I just feel like the Bucks really should need to feel like they're going to keep Frank Mason. Like,
otherwise, you like, cannot... what's the point of being associated?
I mean, if he goes somewhere else and averages like a good 15-5 next year or something, and this would be on a bad team where he gets that much usage, but still, like, how bad? Like, you have an all-world bench team you could have of like Christian Wood, Frank Mason, Justin Patton, I think, is going to be a good NBA player. Xavier Mumford's in Turkey right now, but he, I think, is like a capable NBA player they've let go. Like, it's just like,
bring
it gets
back
really
J-O-B,
frustrating.
Friend of the pod.
J.O.B., future maybe two-way player. I don't think he can. Maybe. I think it's less than 4 years, so maybe he could.
Yeah.
Regardless. No, he couldn't. He for sure couldn't. But yeah, I hope they keep him. Grades, I had versus expectations, A+.
Yep, same.
And overall, like C minus. Oh,
okay.
Probably C minus.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'd say
if we're talking about
C+.
Like reserve guards.
Yeah. I think like the thing is like he'll never be a good defender.
No.
Just because he's so small.
He can top out as passable.
Yeah. Like there's only so much you can do at 5'11".
Yeah.
I guess like.
Well, I don't know. How tall is Fred VanVleet?
That's fair. That's also
I don't think he's
like,
that good. I don't think he's that good, to be clear, but
VanVleet is 6'1".
Sure. I'm not buying that one.
That's Canada measurements.
Yeah, that's metrics.
So it's
he's
right.
6'1" meters? That would be very tall.
Oh, that would...
but like you can be like if and he does he works out a lot. He's definitely like
oh,
how did that sound? Go ahead.
No, he's strong. Don't want to go full Tommy Heinsohn on Aaron Baines there.
Yeah,
he is put together. That's an all-time quote.
Looks
quote.
Like all of Australia down there.
Oh my god.
That's not my. That's
Tommy,
Tommy Heinsohn
on Aaron Baines.
Yeah,
just
us.
To be clear,
that's not us. But no, Frank Mason certainly is strong. Probably could be even a little stronger. But yeah, he'll never be like. I don't think he'll ever be Fred VanVleet on defense. Probably not on offense. Fred VanVleet's just good. But like you can be
shout
passable.
Shout out Maggio getting
least.
Him on the Knicks.
What did you say?
Shout out to Maggio getting Fred VanVleet on the Knicks.
I thought you said Joe DiMaggio. I was like, what? What kind of comp is this? I'm so interested.
Nah. I don't know baseball.
Yeah, I don't know much about baseball. The Brewers are playing right now. Probably.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
9 p.m. start for the Milwaukee
Oh,
Brewers.
They're in L.A. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Also, it's just not a good matchup. Yeah, so did you have around C as well for Frank's overall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said C+.
Okay, I'm going to go to just... I was going to say straight C.
Yeah, but A+ for expectations. And we're rooting for you, Frank Mason.
Really hope Frank Mason is
he'd better
a
be on the team
Milwaukee
next year.
Buck.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be so disappointing, man.
He'd better be on the team. Oh.
Speaking of disappointing.
Oh no.
You referred to this at the jump
oh,
of the pod.
Oh, I almost forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did try the Travis Scott meal. I was corrected by my girlfriend. I tweeted that I tried the Travis Scott burger. I did not. It doesn't exist. I tried the Travis Scott meal because the burger is a modified quarter pounder with cheese. Before we start, you have not tried this.
No, I am a vegetarian.
I was going to... Okay, so you are a vegetarian. So you could eat part of it.
Yeah, I'm just...
The fries.
Yeah.
So how much do you know about this? Because I actually...
I've just seen the marketing for it.
I actually think it's a genius idea.
It really
not this
is.
One specifically, but... Well, here's why it's genius. McDonald's did not have to do anything outside of what they would do for like a new Happy Meal to accommodate this in their stores. Because when you order the Travis Scott meal, it's a quarter pounder with bacon and maybe like onion, I believe are the only differences. Fries with barbecue sauce and a Sprite. Like it's not, they didn't introduce a menu item. They just rebranded a few of their existing items, apparently the ones that Travis Scott likes, under this name of this meal. So, like, this, outside of paying Travis Scott, but, like, inventory-wise, this didn't cost them anything.
No, it
and
just
I
got them
feel,
free promotion.
Well, I'm sure they paid.
Well,
but,
like, yeah. Yeah, of course.
But I think it's actually kind of a genius idea. McDonald's give us food. Or local restaurants give us food. Figure out a vegetarian euro and name it after Rohan.
I would be down.
Tofu?
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know if the consistency would be right. We'll talk about this later. Well, I guess we're doing food segments now, but Drop in either in a review on iTunes when you give us 5 stars or on Twitter. Drop us what food we should talk about next.
Yeah.
If we should.
We should do this as an off-season thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to.
No, every pot.
No, I know. But I mean, like, we're not going to be like, all right, no more game 3 talk. We got to get into. I tried another burger. That's a good off-season thing. It's a good off-season thing.
Yeah. But so was it good?
It was fine. I would say out of 10, I'd probably say 6.
Okay.
The burger was like, I didn't get like a great one either. Like, it was kind of thrown together in the box. Like, it didn't look, if you look at the picture, it doesn't look great. But it was fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's a quarter pounder from McDonald's with bacon. So it's like, it's not terrible. Some people probably think it's terrible. Like, if you hate McDonald's, it's terrible. But for McDonald's standards, it's like a fine menu item. The fries, I like the fries. Everyone knows. With barbecue sauce, actually, I think this will probably change if I'm strictly eating at McDonald's and not taking it home like I did this time. I would probably use the barbecue sauce instead of ketchup with the fries next time. McDonald's ketchup is really not great. Barbecue sauce, their barbecue sauce and their fries do work well together. And McDonald's Sprite, everyone knows, is good. So overall, like, it was fine, but I'll say it was disappointing. Like, it didn't feel special once I had it. Like, you kind of realize that it's just, like, a bunch of McDonald's stuff put together, and it kind of feels like you've been had.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a question for you, though.
Yes.
When you were ordering, did you tell them that Cactus Jack sent you?
Here's the thing. I ordered through the app.
Ah!
I was not going to be that white dude who pulled up in the drive-thru. Straight up! Let me get 2 Travis Scott meals Cactus Jack sent me. I was not going to be that person, Rohan. I ordered through the app. I did not make eye contact with the lady when she put my food on the counter. I just grabbed it and went. I was like, nope. See you later.
That's the beauty of ordering food online.
It's
just avoiding human interaction.
One of the few pandemic positives is like this becoming way more normalized.
Yeah.
I got to include my girlfriend's review of the Travis Scott meal. She gave it a 2 out of 10. I like the Sprite. How little to come out of this just to like the drink. It's expensive too.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah. I also tried the spicy nuggets there. Solid.
Okay.
Solid. I'm not going to go in depth. Like, they're fine. I know I've seen people say like Wendy's are better. I would agree. It's nice that they have them. Everyone's doing spicy chicken options. Stuff. Yeah. So do you go to McDonald's?
Nah.
Never?
Nah.
I know people used to be high on their salads, but I never really got into them.
I don't know.
What's your go-to fast food?
Go-to fast food?
Or do you just not? Like, are you above it?
I mean, like, I wouldn't say I'm above it. like, I'll go... See, the years that I don't have, like, a go-to place. Like, if there's something around, I'll get something. You know?
Right.
I don't have, like, a favorite place, though.
I have an idea for next time.
Okay. We'll talk after the pod.
No, I'll say it here.
Oh, okay.
Top vegetarian, fast or fast casual items.
Okay. I'm down.
I've been a vegetarian for about a year total.
Okay.
Not consecutively right now. I did like 9 months. I did like another 2 months earlier this year, actually. Okay. It's not as hard to find food as people probably think
it is. It's not. Qdoba. Salad.
Next pod.
It's a tease.
Okay. Fair enough. I actually have a sub place. Actually, 2 sub places.
Ooh.
I stand for that are like chain subs. Like, you'll find it. You can find it. But next pod.
Yes.
But yeah, that's all the food I have, though. Cactus Jack meal. The Travis Scott meal. I mean, like, try it if, like, you want to. I guess if you want to try it. Like, it's a little pricey considering. Like, there's a deal on the app where I think it's like $6. You're welcome for the free promo, McDonald's. Please pay me.
Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, yeah. But like, not terrible. But yeah, don't expect like a rare menu item because that is not it.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Oh, we do have. If we want to transition this back to basketball real quick, well, we have some. So you know who hasn't tweeted in 2 months, but now is tweeting?
I don't actually.
Larry Sanders.
Oh.
So you want to know
he tweeting?
His first tweet since July 16th, which was just like some weird like thing. Do you want to know what this is?
I clearly do.
Dear at Miami Heat, he tagged them. I can guard Anthony Davis. See you this summer.
Oh, what does he mean by this summer?
I don't know. That was going to be my question. And then he put like a palm. So it's like a block. And then he put like an upside down face.
Huh.
I don't know. Larry, you're a solid buck. You're not guarding Anthony Davis.
I think probably the most overestimated defender of all time.
It was potential.
Larry Sanders. It was, but I truly think people are unaware. Like, I've been told by folks who, were not Bucks fans, but, vaguely followed.
Hmm.
Didn't he make an all-defensive team? Or, wasn't he an all-star? Nope, never an all-star, never an all-defensive team. I think got maybe votes for the all-defensive teams once, and that's the closest he got. But just 238 total games across six NBA seasons from age 22 to 28. Really tough stuff. I mean, certainly had the potential, but no, was never an all-star, never an all-defensive guy, certainly never a DPOY. But certainly did have the potential to be a very good defender, but probably remembered a little more fondly than he actually played.
Just it's the thumbs up to the refs.
Yeah, I mean, that's all-time moment for
all
sure.
All-time moment, but
post
my guy.
Ray Allen, pre Giannis Bucks, all we had were moral victories.
Yep.
That was what we were looking for.
You're not guarding AD, though.
No.
Yeah, and he capitalized the G in guard, so it looks weird.
That's one of my all-time pet peeves, is people just capitalizing words because they feel like they're important. Like, I'm literally an editor at my day job. It drives me crazy all the time. I would actually rather someone just do, the capitalize every word in a sentence thing. That would offend me less than just,
the random capital. It just throws you off because it's you can clearly see the error.
Our school system is just failing because it's at no point are you taught capitalization. Just depends on how you feel about the word. You like that word? Is it an important word? Cap that first letter. No. Proper nouns. Names. Oh, you know what? Let me not even. Before I get carried away, Rohan. I think now that I've talked about hamburgers, Larry Scott. I put Travis Scott and Larry Sanders. Larry Sanders' defensive reputation and grammar. I feel like that's the red light to end the program.
We're also an
flashing.
Hour 15 in.
Well, not. I took a break.
Yeah, hour.
We're probably 15. An hour 10 in.
I mean, with actual timings and stuff, it'll be an hour 15.
Fair.
I guess. This is peak off-season content right now.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just getting started, people. Well, if you're still listening, thank you. We love you. And just to everyone, just thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We're going to be rolling through this off-season content. We have stuff planned. We have these grades. We have, trades. We have a roster, free agent stuff. We have a lot of stuff to talk about for what should be a busy summer off-season from Milwaukee. I pulled Larry Sanders.
You tweet from Larry Sanders' account. I see the vision.
Yeah, how do you know I tweet? How do you think I knew that he tweeted that right away?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. You don't have Twitter alerts on for Larry Sanders.
I do not.
Okay, I was really concerned about you for a second. Go on. I'm sorry.
Someone retweeted that. We're going to be bringing you great content for what should be a great off-season, or at least great's a strong word. Should be a interesting and eventful off-season for Milwaukee. We're going to keep chugging through here. Make sure you check out all of the great content being put out across the Blue Wire Network. Leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice for this pod. It just keep showing support. We've been getting great support, and we love to see it. We love providing you guys with great episodes. I guess that's all Ty and I have for you. Stay safe out there, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.